Sorry we are late. I had a disaster recovery attempt, as I said. Okay, form basic loops. And basically, you, I'm assuming, are comfortable with loops. At home may not be totally, so I'm going to go through this. But as you can see, I've got a bunch of different structures. And one of them is a do while where I do the test at the bottom, the top, rather. And the other is a do while where I do the test at the bottom. Okay, so with the do while and the do until, it lets you do both the test at the bottom and a test at the top. So you can do a test for pre-entry or having done it once test, which would be post-entry. So you've got that going on. So if I run this, this always will give me the same results on all of these. Actually, I don't want to run it for just a minute. I want to go back and look at it. Okay, so if I look at the form, this is a list box. So from the tools, I've got a list box and I named it list trace. But you can always, if you look at a form and you can't figure out what it is, if you come over here, it will show you what it was that was brought in from the toolbar. Okay, so that's a list box. The rest of the stuff is obvious. But that is a list box. Okay, so in this, if I run it, I have the number of times I want to do it is 5. I want to start at 100. I want to subtract 10. And it's going to tell me the amount left. So if I hit the do while pre, it goes through and gives me 90, 80, 70, 60, 50. Okay, so it went through the loop 5 times, subtracted 2 from 100 every time, and I put the content in the list box. Okay, so we're seeing content going in the list box. So if I come back over here and look at the code that goes with that, okay, so I set up a work count. I set up work answer as double and set it, make it equal to the text start amount that came in off the form. And I set up a work message and I said do while work count is less than or equal to the text number of times dot text. Okay, so I'm testing against that. And as long as it's less than, it goes in and does the calculation. And then it adds to the text box. And this is the thing that I wanted to point out, is how it adds to the text box. So I did the calculation for word answer. I set up a message that said amount now concatenated with word answer. Okay. Now I converted work answer to a string because at times you will find that it does not want you concatenating things that aren't like types. So I took the work answer and changed it over to a string so that I could concatenate it. And then when I want to add it to the items in the box. So the collection of items is items. And I'm adding it to that collection that's in the box. Okay, so every time through, I add work message to the items collection inside that first trace box. And if I then hit the next one, it adds that group on too. And I must have hit more than once because I don't see why I'm getting two. But anyway, maybe I've got a logic problem. If I close this and I run this and I put in the same thing, 5, 100, 10, and and do the post, it's only giving me one. And I may not have it coded that I can do them all in succession. So there is the same thing. And this time, because of a group entailed, whereas the one up above just did a group. Okay, so I've got four different versions going on here. I've got a dual while with the condition at the top. I've got the dual while with the while at the bottom, which means it's always going to be done once, whereas this one makes a decision. Then I've got a do until with the condition at the box. And then I've got a do until with it at the bottom. So there's the while. What am I trying to get? Those two. Okay, so what's the difference between a while and a until if you compare those two commands? And it's like other languages as well. While is do while it is this condition. So that's what keeps it in. And do until is what I can put up to have it break out. So while is talking about keeping in, and until is talking about it's time to get out. Do until this happens. When this happens, get out. And the do while is talking about while this is true, stay in. And so it's different ways of expressing it. So with these four combinations, I have the what I keep in, the intestine at the top or the bottom, and what gets me out, the intestine at the top and the bottom. So I got a lot of flexibility here, okay, to be able to design it the way I want to design it. Okay. Then I have down at the bottom a for loop. Okay, so I said here, this is the for loop, and this is saying four will count equal 1 to 5. So the four is really kind of written in a little different way. Okay, four will count equal 1 up until will count is 5. Okay, and so it goes through and does exactly the same thing. So if I hit the 4, again, not coded that I can hit them all. Okay, what did I do wrong there? Does anybody see what I did wrong in this particular thing? It was running last night when I was playing with it. And maybe something I did to it last night means it's no longer running. But does anybody see what the problem is? Didn't work answer is double. And, oh, duh. My problem was I didn't put the data in. Okay? So, I'm looking for a sophisticated problem, and the problem was that I didn't put the data in. And so, it had nothing to do. So there's the for loop. Okay. And now I'm really curious. Okay, so I want to do it 5 times. I want to start at 100. I want to subtract 10 from it each time. There, finally I got it to work.
So now I'm printing out the 890, 870, 850 account in the last time I hit, so probably twice.
Okay. Now there is one other kind of loop that I don't have on there, and that is a while end while. So if you go in to Firefox or something and you put in Visual Basic Loop Structures, one of them is the while end while. Okay, so I went in and I've got loop structures in Visual Basic. And the one that I don't have in there at this point is the while end while statement. Okay, which is a while and then a condition, and then I can put in the end while. So, take a minute and add one to that program that I have, just to make sure you understand it. You don't need the continue while or the exit while or the statements, you can just put it in the regular way. In fact, the exit while is not a good idea because it's usually not considered a good idea to exit while you're mid-cycle. So, just add one more button and add the button So I've got one of those, but you can go ahead and add it from there and I will show you my solution. By the way, when I made this, I made it in a separate program because I didn't want to mess up the other one. I went into the original program and I highlighted all of this information that I wanted and copied and pasted it into a new one that I opened. And
so I didn't have to create all those text boxes and everything like that. I just took them over, copied and pasted them. They kept the same names and everything. And so they were set up exactly the same way. And so it was just a quick and easy. I had to delete the button and add another button. But it was a quick and easy way to get the information over. So when I did this this weekend or whenever I did it last night or something, I had two Visual Basics open on my screen on my computer, and I was copying and pasting. So I copied and pasted the code too, and then just went in and made the minor changes. So it literally took me about 10 minutes to do this because I copied and pasted so much as opposed to having to write it. So the do loop has all the flexibility with the while and the until both attached to it. And then this while is a standalone while.
got it working?
Close.
Have you been right where you were going?
You got it done? So the big change here was, I added it in a while, and I got it in a while. And again, the point is, if I copied this from the original, and I have a vocal put at the same time, it literally takes me a couple of seconds to do it, because I just have to highlight that, copy it, bring it over. And I brought over the form already, and so it was easy to move on from there. And so this one has the while and the end while in it. Mm-hmm. And that program you don't have, because I just did it
so that you would do it, and I've got the solution. So the solution is my whole thing. And I can put the program up too.
Okay. Okay. I think different boxes was the one I wanted next. So if you bring up the toolbar, I've got a series of different kinds of boxes here. And the first one, if I click on this, this is diff boxes. If I click on that, I again can come over here and see that it's a list box. And a list box is over here, and I can drag a list box from over there onto the form.
Okay,
so there's the list box, and I just drag that onto the form. The next box going down is a checked list box. So on that one, I dragged over the checked list box. And the one down here is also a list box. So I've got these different boxes that I can put on and do things. Now, on this first box, I wanted to have the data put into it. And I wanted to decide it, I wanted multiple columns. Okay, so I've got multiple columns going on there. So what I did is I go to the properties, and there's my list box, and I clicked on collection. Actually, let me pull this up so I can get in there a little bit better. Okay, the collection of items. I should have said items. I said collection, didn't I? The collection of items. And there is the collection of items. Okay, so I went in over here under items, click on connection, it had little dots there. I bring them up, and I can enter the string, the strings that I want in the collection, one per line. So that gives me the set of things that I wanted in there. Okay? Whoops, what did that just do? I meant to click that. This has been acting up today. Okay, now I have to find the, so I'm going to cancel that. And then I've got to find visible value, use tab stops, multi-column. I always have to read the list. Multi-column, let it be set up as multiple columns. Okay? If I go in and I click on multi-column and set it to false, notice how it changes things. I just have one column when I do that. If I have multi-column set to true, then I get multiple columns, and it determines the size of the columns. So I'm going to put it back to true, and now I've got the multiple columns again. Okay? And then with this box down here, I have a checklist box. And again, I look for items, collection, and click on that. And there is the collection of things that I want in that box. Okay, so items collection again gets me the list that I want in that box. So in the first one, I had an empty box. The first program that we ran, I had an empty box, and I was adding items. Here, I've got boxes that I want to be filled when the program starts. So I put the items in, and I go and get the collection that I want in under the items. So I'm getting the items collection. Okay, so that gets me all of those. So it's a matter of setting the properties and the rest. Now, obviously, I could have got those in by having a housekeeping routine. So on load, I could have done a whole series of items add, items add, items add, and loaded them in at runtime. But it's easier to go over here with the items collection if I want them there. Now I can still add things to it in my code because I can still use the items.add and add things to the boxes. Okay. So when I run this, language to check, I am just checking to see if something's in the list. So if I put in here Oracle and say click to check, it comes back and says it's not in my list. Okay. Come on. This thing is definitely acting up. If I put in Perl and click to check, it comes back and says in the list. So in this example, I'm checking to see if it's in the list. And I do that by giving the name of the list box, dot items, so the collection of items, and then dot contain. And I'm saying, does that contain, okay, one of the text language.txt, whatever I typed in the text box. So I typed in Perl, it went and it found Perl, and so it said it was in the list. When I typed Oracle, it wasn't in the list, it came back and said not in the list. These are the things that you look for. There's a lot of things like that that say, where I say, does the collection contain? And I'm looking for if it is in the collection. on the next one down, I'm looking for get items checked equals true. So I'm going down and I'm going to say programming logic, internet developer, and I'm clicking these, Visual Basic, Oracle, PHP, and MySQL. So I clicked on those, okay? Now I'm going to go to the routine called click for count. And it goes in and says, first of all, do it for count running from 0 to the count minus 1. So again, I'm looking at CDL courses items count minus 1. Okay? So I'm looking at that box, I'm counting how many things are in there. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 things in there. So then I'm saying from 0 to, and what is that going to end up being? Since I'm starting at 0, it'll have 7 things, I'm going up through 6. And I'm checking each one to see if in that box, the get item check that it's pointing to is equal to true. Okay, so is get items checked equal to true? Okay, and if it is, then when I click this, it's writing them down below. And it automatically puts in the box, the scroll bar, if it won't hold everything. And so as I'm going, I am adding them. So I'm saying if it's checked, add 1, because I'm keeping track of how many we checked. And then I am saying, eventually I put this out, and I am saying also add it to this box. So if it's checked, add it to this box. So if it is checked, then add it to the items in there and add the one that the count is pointing to. Okay. So if you go through this and then at the bottom put text count.text, make it equal, which is right here, make it equal to 5 because there were 5 of them that were checked. Now if I go back and I put in here, a message box that shows count. Okay, then I can watch it more as it's progressing. Okay, so it's coming up and showing me the ones that were checked, 4, 5, 6. So again, if I do this, it shows me 0 was checked. Okay, 0 was checked. And then the next one that it shows me checked is 4.
Okay, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 is the next one that was checked.
And so it's showing me 4, whoops, and then 5, and then 6, okay, and then it's done. And at the same time, it is adding so that it is keeping track of in word count. Okay, count is the control thing here. Word count is keeping track of how many we checked. So count is controlling stepping through the items, and word count I add 1 to if the item is checked. Okay. So then at the bottom I put out the content of word count. Any questions? Okay. Okay, then I have a bunch of other things. This one doesn't have as many boxes on it. This one just has one list box. So I'm going through this. And I'm actually going to make this go away so it's not as obtrusive. Oops. Okay, so for this first one, I am putting up an input box. So this is allowing the user to enter input boxes. So I've got an input box coming in from the user. So if I put in Ann as the name, and then I say calculate pay, it's coming in and asking for the pay per hour. And again, notice the setup here. Enter the pay per hour and pay hour. We're going up there. And so I am entering in the pay per hour, which is $50. And then I entered the hours worked. Now, in the hours worked, notice I've got a zero here. And then I've got the 2020, which positions the box where it is. So if I choose to position the box, I can put in information there. So I'm saying 50 again, and so 2,500. Okay? Now, if I stop this, and I come over here and make these 50, 50, and then I run it, calculate pay, and I put in 60. And notice it's down a little ways because I put in the 50-50, and so it's down a little ways. Okay? And so now if I enter 40 here, I've got 2,400. So if I come down here and I make this 150, and I don't have to make the same one I just did, okay? So now I'm saying, Susan, calculate pay, 45, and there is, though it's down a little bit further. So that gives me the opportunity to position the input box, or in the first one, I just defaulted it. You put it wherever you want to put it. But if I care, and I don't want to block the vision of the person, and I really like that, because lots of times input boxes come up and they're in the way of what you're trying to do. So that allows you to position the input box. So now I come down here and okay, we'll make Susan a programmer. Okay, so I've checked programming. And then what's happening in calculate raise?
We can look at that, see if we can figure out what's happening.
Who's gonna get a 5% raise? Right.
Okay, so the ones that have a selected index of 0 or a selected index of 2.
So if it is an analyst or a network administrator, they're getting a 5% raise. Who's gonna get a 6% raise? Right, they're gonna get a 6% raise. So since I chose programmer, when I say calculate raise, I'm assuming that it did the math right and we have a 6% raise. Feel free to try it. And so I've got the 6% raise, and I took that raise I just calculated and put it in that box, and I took the job that was selected and put it in there. And notice we use the selected index. Those kinds of things, I honestly suggest, if nothing else, you make some kind of a notepad, get index cards or something and put some of these words down that we're just looking at now, because I have to go and look them up all the time. How is, did they write that? Did they write it as, the phrase is selected index, okay, that one I can remember. But I want, there's others, or is it index selected? I go back and forth on that when I'm trying to put in the phrase that I don't use on a regular basis. And so it actually, I think, really helps. I have kind of a list that I know that I can go to. And that makes my life a little bit easier. Okay. Now the button other things click. Okay. Is giving me account and the job again. So at this point, I said list the count of how many were in here. So I'm counting how many are in there in list jobs items. So this box is clearly called list jobs. And I'm doing an items count of that. And it comes back and tells me 4. And again, remember that when you're stepping through this, it's going 0, 1, 2, 3. But when it gives you a count, it's 4. Which is why you go through so much of the count minus 1 to get it back to starting with 0. Okay? So the count minus 1 tells you the last one. So count tells you the 4, but since they start at 0, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4 would be illegal. So the last one is not the count, it's the count minus 1. And you basically have to keep reminding yourself of that. It's true in most programming, so that works. And then I put out the job. This time, instead of using selected index, I said take the first one. So first one, actually, the one with an index of 1. I shouldn't have said first one. The index of 1. Analyst has an index of 0. Programmer has a 1. So I got programmer again. Okay. And then the last one is I want to add a job. Okay, so I'm going to add a job and I'll call it an analyst. Oh, I've already got analyst. Add a job database administrator. Okay, so I've now keyed in because it came down here and it prompted me. And again, the 4040 is positioning it. And it asks for, and I have nothing in there. Notice on the one above, I had a zero in there because I wanted a zero in the box. Here I wanted nothing in the box, so I just went comma, space, comma. And that gives me nothing in the box. And I've written database administrator. And so now I am going to do an item add. And notice the database administrator has now been added to the box. Okay, so I started out with the collection, and then I am now adding something to it. So I said, in the box, the items add this. So I've added something to the box. Okay? And then I said, list the items count. The count down there. Now if I go back and look at the text box, the properties, if I look at the form, that box has the collection and it's got the four things in it. Okay, so that's my starting four things. And then I went in and I added something to the box. So I started out with my bases in the collection. And when we start getting into databases and tables and everything, you know, these things, lots of times also, will come in as data. Okay, but right now we're starting out with a collection, and then the user has the ability to add to that collection. And then the last one is a guessing game. So this is down here, a track bar.
Okay. So I've put a track bar on there that I am using to track.
So that is called a track bar. And again, I drag that in from the toolbox. So, I can drag this over, so I'm checking a guess. Actually, I think I'm supposed to hit play game first. And then I drag it over, and I check the guess. And it says your guess is too high. So 17 is too high. Okay. So I'm going to drag it back out and say check guess. And it says it's too low. And then I'm going to drag it over and check my guess, and it's too high. And that's still too high. And 8 was it, okay? So I have the, you guessed it when they hit the 8. And then, if I want to do it again, I say play game, which clears it. And I'm saying 22 is too high, 11 is also too high, 4 is too low. And it was 8 again. That doesn't seem right. But anyway, right, so there's my gain. So, play game gets me a random number. And this is how you get the random number.
So I'm saying get a random number and I'm looking for 25. And
0 to 25 is what I want. And then button play game is visible false. So I make the button go away at that point. I set the label message, text to blank, and with label message, so the with, yeah.
Isn't it 125 since you're adding the one to the random function?
No.
It's the whole problem of counting. Okay, so if I go up here at my limit, it's 25. And if I go back, it's 1. So I want 25 numbers. And if I want them to start at 0 and go to 24, I leave it in. But I want it from 1 to 25.
I'm learning C++ as well, too.
Okay. So. And what would that have been?
You have to add a 1 to the random function because it starts from 0 and goes to the...
Well, that's what you're basically doing
yeah.
here. You've got a lot of C in Java, it's the same, right? Okay. So I'm using this to set the colors, and when I get down into the check, okay, I am going to check and I can set colors. So this is what I was going to say. The width. If I have a lot of different things I want to do, and this is not a terribly good example because it's a mail message, but if this is a really long thing that I have up there, then what this does is take what I've got there, put a dot for color on it, so I don't have to repeat the whole top. So the width takes whatever this is and says label message dot for color, label message dot back color. Label message dot border style, and that again, why bother with that particular one, because we're talking 6 characters, but when you have a 20 character thing up there or something, then it starts becoming a value not to have to repeat that over and over again, and so the width lets you avoid that. So it's kind of a nice little tool to have. So the table guess scroll is when I'm scrolling, and if you notice, the number was showing up. So the table, the value of the scroll bar is being put into the text box, okay? So that I can actually read the number that is on the scroll bar, because in the scroll bar, okay, I'm not showing any numbers, but that's putting the number over there. So I'm taking and putting the number into that text box so that they can see the number that I actually got to via the scroll bar. And so then I say, if the text guess equals the random number, then I put out the message that says you got it. I change the colors and then say you got it. Okay? Otherwise, I put out your guess is too big and your guess is too low, and I use the coloring that I put as the default coloring. So I'm only changing the coloring when they got it. If I wanted to, I could have changed the coloring for too high and changed the coloring for too low, but I got sick of that. So I only changed the coloring when they got it. But the reason I said at the beginning that I forgot for a minute to click play game is that play game does the one-time housekeeping kinds of stuff, okay? And so play game gets me the random number and sets things up for me. So play game sets things up. So I'm clearing out the text box. So when I hit play game, I am clearing out this text box and I'm setting the cursor over the whatever it is on the scroll bar over to the side, because that's now set at one. So I set it to start out over here. Okay, so all that stuff is why I have to play games. Then I made it false, the visible part false, so it would go away. And it's not until I win that I set the visible to true. So when I put out the message, you guessed it, I set the visible to true, and so now they can play another game. Okay, but they can't play another game until they got it. I'm not going to let you play another game until you guess my number. Okay? And that is that. So, I'm actually done for today because I think those are the things that I wanted to cover. And we went through them rather fast without any questions.